Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
We're on Insight. Jack Stogler on this gorgeous Wednesday night. I think maybe the first Wednesday of spring.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. First Wednesday of spring.
And I welcome to studio that...
Spring came in on the 20th. So this is the second Wednesday of spring.
Yeah, but this is the first one that counts.
Okay. First Wednesday in spring that counts.
Yes. And I welcome in studio the man who knows more about spring and flowers and shrubs, grass.
Easy. I don't know. Don't build me up like that.
Anybody I know, Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green. Hello, Steven.
Hey, thanks a lot for the invite to come up tonight.
Well, the first six people asked, all said no. So I fell back on the old reliable.
That's right. You can always count on me, buddy. I got your back.
But Neil, when I asked Steve to come on, he called me back and I said, "So how's it going?" And he said, "I'm really, really mad at you."
Uh-oh.
Yep. Tell him why, Steve.
Yeah, he gives me a call and wants me to be on Insight. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that. But I listened to Insight the week before, and you have, one of the neatest guys, smartest businessmen in Fort Recovery up here for an hour by the name of Buzz Hall.
Yeah.
So then I have to follow that up.
And he had his brother Rich with him, who's not too shabby.
And Rich as well. So you've got two of the smartest businessmen in Fort Recovery in here, and then you bring me in after that. Those are big shoes to fill
Well, we know you can't fill them.
So
the pressure's off.
That's okay, right. There you go. The pressure's off.
But I tell you what, Steve, I think for a long time now. So how long has Nature's Green been out there?
Nature's Green's been out there
5 years.
Somewhere between 5 and 22.
Oh.
And I'm guessing it's closer to 22.
22, wow. We incorporated in 1994.
See, it just seems like that's not possible.
Absolutely.
It seems like 5 years.
I agree 100%.
I know it wasn't last year or the year before, but it couldn't have been 22 years.
It really doesn't seem like it could be possible at all. And that's something talking about Buzz Hall, when I got the wild, crazy idea of starting that place, pretty big undertaking, a little nervous, a lot of things going on. Had a good job, didn't know what to do. And again, talking about Buzz reminded me of that story, and I wanted to talk about that on air. I had three tremendous people help me with my decisions and, just again, the core really of Fort Recovery. And one of them was Chuck Hine, Charlie Hine, old Charlie.
Yeah.
And he was invaluable on questions, what do I do here,
Yep.
Another one was Jerry Adams.
Oh, yeah.
And the third one was Silas Fever. And you talk about three tremendous people, very successful, but took the time, some stupid kid running around with a business plan in his hand.
Yep.
I think I need this. I think it's going to cost this. What do I do here? And all three of those guys took tremendous amount of time and sat down with me and explain different things to me and help me. So
you kind of showed you what the real world would be like from a business owner's standpoint.
Well, absolutely. I mean, again, you talk about three guys that, very successful.
Yeah.
But guys that were busy. I mean, super busy doing their own thing, but hey, they took time and sat down with me, and I thought think about it to this day that those guys were there, and it was great to be able to talk to them and learn from them. It was really cool.
Yeah, and it's neat because when we talked to Buzz and Rich last week or the week before, whichever it was, they said that the same thing happened to them as they were getting into the business. There were people that helped them along the way too, even though their dad and their grandpa had established the core of the business, they counted on bankers. I think they mentioned Rich Meiring at some
point. Yeah, Rich Meiring really helped them.
Yeah.
You probably know Rich Meiring, don't you?
Yeah,
Rich. Since you live in his yard.
Yeah, it is right.
Rich Meiring, he was tremendous. And again, more great stories. I'm sitting here sounding like an old guy. We moved in next to Rich in 2000, and he came over every night with his golf cart. And took my kids for a ride back through the tree. He was so proud of his property and his woods. And, he was just such a neat guy. The guy was in the service, so he'd tell stories about being in the Army Corps of Engineers. He was a sheriff or deputy sheriff, told stories about that. Of course, worked at Hall Brothers.
And knew every person.
He knew every person in
three counties, at
three
least.
Three counties around. He knew every road.
Yeah, he knew at least every farmer and probably every person.
But it was funny because he knew all the farmers, but he knew all the family. Well, his wife was so-and-so, and then they'd go down the line, and he knew the genealogy of everybody. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
And we went golfing one night, and we were flying back home from Portland on 200, and he's flying down the road, and he's just complaining up a storm, that he played bad. And at the time, he was in his early 70s, and he shot a 45.
Yeah.
And he was complaining that he played bad. And I sat there, and I looked at him. I said, man, Rich, if you get out of bed, if I get out of bed at 75 or 74,
I'd take it in our
It'd be a success. And I said, you're complaining. Of course, he beat me by 3 or 4 strokes. And great guy.
So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk about spring and what you can do in the yard now and with landscaping. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about the startup of Nature's Green and how that all kind of came to be. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50 cent wings and boneless wings and 75 cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
Don't have time to make supper tonight? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. You can choose from their great variety of wings, subs, and pizzas, or one of their great sandwiches and more. Everybody can order their favorite. Miracle Lanes will have it ready to go, so all you have to do is take it home and enjoy. Save yourself some time and skip the cleanup in the kitchen. And their bowling leagues are finishing up, so there will be more chances for open bowling on weeknights. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for your birthday parties and other get-togethers. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274. It's finally spring. Baseball, golf, flowers coming up. But now your car needs a little attention. Call Hastings Auto Sales now at 375-4617 and have your vehicle checked over. They'll check your air conditioning, brakes, tires, tune it up if it needs it. Check it over for your spring and summer trips. Or if it's finally time to trade it in, they have a great selection of quality, low-mile used cars at the lowest prices around. And if they don't have what you're looking for, they'll find it for you. Hastings Auto. Let Harold and the gang get your car ready for spring. The baseball season is underway. The Indians play next this Saturday as Coach Kalp's Indians will host the always tough Crestview Knights in a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. Get on board the Indians baseball train as our Indians will be working hard to get back to state again this year. Do everything you can to get to all the games to help cheer them on. But if you can't get to all the games in person, as always, we'll bring you all the action live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green. So, Steve, we touched on it a bit, and I just wanted to kind of talk about Nature's Green. You said it started 22 years ago. with the one location in Fort Recovery.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Now, there's a second location now too, correct?
Yeah, in 2000 we bought the, it was G&B Greenhouse, and you know, I don't know all the details. I just know we spoke, or the bank actually that had the loan for the business contacted us and asked us if we'd be interested in purchasing it. And we, you know, took a long time and a lot of negotiations, but we ended up buying that location, which again was the old G&B Greenhouse there on State Route 29. And that's our retail garden center. We have outdoor patio furniture, greenhouses. You know, it's been a struggle.
Yeah.
Two locations is a struggle. Absentee, you know, not being there all the time. Absentee ownership, they call it. Very, very challenging.
I believe
that. To manage that. Seasonal businesses are also very, very difficult. I mean, you go a lot of times November, December, January, February, where you just really don't have hardly any revenue at all. So
yeah.
It really takes a lot of cussing and fretting and worrying and
patience
trying to, you know, make it work. But I'm not complaining. It's been a challenge, but we've done fine.
Good. So I tell you what, we are now into the second week of spring. You know, when you start getting days in the, you know, 60s, you start getting a little antsy to get out in the yard and start doing some of those things that you let go for the past 4 months. So for this time of year, when you're talking late March, the month of April.
Well, it's been obviously a very mild winter, kind of an unusual winter that February was so incredibly warm, really unusually warm. Things started growing and developing, and buds were swelling, and plants were trying to break dormancy. And then you get into March, and we had, I don't know, either seasonable or even below normal temperatures and some really cold nights. Saw a lot of damage. There was a lot of things that forsythia bloom early, the magnolias will bloom early, and roses, and a lot of things that will commonly break dormancy early. We're doing that, and then we ran into some, obviously we had some nights that were down around 14-15 degrees. So if you're looking at your roses as they're trying to kind of grow right now because we're getting warmer weather, and you're seeing a lot of brown leaves, you know, hey, that's pretty typical because they were trying to leaf out and they got frozen. Forsythias are probably going to be, if you get some flowers, consider yourself lucky because they were leafed out or starting to leaf out and bud out, and they got frosted really hard. But overall, actually, I saw some magnolias that were...
Let me ask you this. But like the forsythia, the roses, you say they're struggling and they may not bloom, but they're not dead.
No, absolutely.
They'll be fine the next good season.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Well, even this season, they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I get a lot of questions, or had a tremendous amount of questions on, you know, what's going on, or is this... Just because the foliage got frozen or damaged doesn't mean that plant's going to die. Just because it didn't bloom this year, if the forsythias didn't flower this year, are the plants going to die? No, absolutely not. The temperatures that we had were unusual. I mean, the way the seasons worked, it's been unusual because it got warm early, then got cold. But as far as having temperatures and you know, weather conditions that are going to cause plants just to completely collapse and die, that's absolutely not the case. You may see, again, some diminished flowering. I think the fruit trees, actually, I was very concerned about fruit trees. From what I've been seeing the last week or so, I don't think the damage was as severe as I thought it was going to be. I was very concerned with how the fruit trees were starting to break dormancy, that the buds might have been in a position to be damaged with the cold nights. I don't think that's the case. I saw, magnolias blooming. Actually, my magnolias blooming at home really, really nice, and I didn't expect that at all. I thought the flowers, the buds would be frozen, damaged, killed, and they would just fall off. And again, it may delay, like the roses, the foliage that emerged initially, a lot of it's damaged. That's probably going to fall off, and it has to put out some new growth beyond what it already did. That doesn't mean the plant's going to die. Okay. It expends a lot more energy because it's already put out leaves, and then those are damaged, dead, and now it has to put out new leaves. So it creates, you know, honestly, stress for the plant, but it's not going to kill the plant, absolutely not.
And that's actually part of the reason that that you prune is so that the energy of the plant can go towards the most profitable growth to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Deciduous plants that lose their leaves in the wintertime, you can do severe pruning or radical pruning or whatever you want to say. You can trim them back really far because those plants, now we're getting into the physiology of plants, the energy, the sugars, and everything that plant needs to produce foliage is all in its roots. So you can trim it back, or it can die back due to wind, due to drought, whatever. It can die back, and it has energy in its roots to put out new growth. And so, and that's common for any deciduous plant. Evergreens, on the other hand, are a little bit different. Spruces sometimes take it in the chin. Any type of evergreen, it doesn't have reserves in the ground. All of its energy is in its sugars and its what it needs to grow are held in its needles. Above ground, they're evergreens. And that's pine, spruces, hemlocks, taxus, boxwoods, anything that's an evergreen. And so if you radically prune that, there's nothing there for it to reproduce growth. Or if Mother Nature, spruces are notorious for, with at least in our area, are notorious for when you have really severe cold winters, the ground freezes really deep, they will defoliate because they can't pull enough moisture out of the ground to keep the needles happy over the wintertime. So they start shedding needles. And if they shed too many needles, there's just not enough energy there for that plant to recover. So you can see those plants can be damaged through really, really hard winters. That's obviously not the case the last two winters. It's been really mild.
So for the average Joe out there, okay, so we're at the 1st of April, okay, and we know that we're still going to get frost and freezes yet.
Oh, sure. The frost-free date for this part of Ohio and Indiana is May 15th.
Okay.
That's after that. It's supposed to be frost.
I think Bill was asking on the morning show last week or something. I said it's usually around Mother's Day.
Yeah, May 15th. They say the frost-free date for our zone, which we're zone 5 through here, is May 15th. So, yeah, you're going to have frosty nights for sure.
So, like, what can a guy or should a guy do now to kind of that would help prepare things for the summer?
Well, what everybody's questions, and, you know, I told somebody my phone rings according to temperature. If it's warm and sunny, my phone this time of year just doesn't ever stop ringing. Mm-hmm. But if it's cold or if it's rainy, you know, I get a little bit of a reprieve. But what people need to be doing now is, you know, getting out there. Ornamental grasses are kind of a big thing. A lot of people will leave those stand all winter long. The foliage that's above ground right now is dead, and that's not coming back. So your ornamental grasses, you can trim them down to the ground. By all means, do that sometime in now to middle of April.
Should that be done in the fall? And you're saying do it now if you didn't do it, or does it make any difference?
It doesn't make any difference at all. There's hundreds and hundreds of varieties of ornamental grasses, and if you let them stand all winter, there's a lot of varieties that have very beautiful foliage, and they'll stand erect all winter long and gives you some really nice winter interest. Yeah. It looks really pretty. So you can do it in the fall, or you can do it in the spring, like right now. What you want to get away from is if you procrastinate and you start seeing the new green coming up with all the old brown that's in there, then you come in and trim them off. Again, people think, oh my God, I'm going to kill the plant. And no, you're not going to kill it. Plants are tough. For the most part, they're pretty darn tough. Yeah. But you want to get that trimmed out down before the new growth starts to emerge. So that's something you need to do. Roses, again, very mild winter, but you may have some dieback. You may have some dieback just from the winter. You may have some tip dieback because of the cold temperatures that we had in March. So roses are very, especially knockout roses, are very forgiving as far as pruning goes. You really can't screw them up. If you want to trim them back by a half, you certainly can. But roses are they're very obvious. The canes and the stems that are alive are very bright, bright, bright green. The stems that are dead are chocolate brown. Yeah. Very easy to see what needs pruned and what doesn't need pruned as far as taking the dead out. So trimming back all your perennial flowers, if you didn't do it last fall, trimming back your ornamental grasses, getting in and around the house. Obviously, we've had some tremendous winds this spring, late winter and spring. You know, clean up all the debris, the leaves, the things that are collecting around the house and around and on top of the plants. Get all that stuff raked out. Just kind of cleanliness type things. Yeah. You know, get all that stuff cleaned up, get it out of there. Those are definitely things you want to be doing right now.
Tidy things up.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. There's an ongoing debate in my household about mulch, okay?
All right.
My wife thinks that you should add mulch whenever the old mulch changes color, okay? You know, loses its freshness, which is about every 6 weeks. If it was up to her, we're buying new mulch every month.
That sounds like a great idea to me. That is perfect. Okay. Not necessary.
Not necessary. So let's start with, first of all, what is the purpose of mulch besides just
aesthetics?
There's
a lot of good reasons to put mulch around your house. One, and that's something else that is a good topic that what we're trying to get into and talk about is what to do this spring. Just, if the wife's on you about getting the mulching done, you can tell her Steve Stone said it's too early.
It is too early to mulch.
I wouldn't suggest. And if you're in Cincinnati, Columbus, Indianapolis, all the big companies are out there doing maintenance right now on the big malls, apartment complexes, yada, yada, yada. And they're putting mulch down. And, it's not a cardinal sin. It's not going to kill your plants. It's just that you put that mulch down this early, the ground's still really cold. And it just insulates that cold in the ground. So it takes longer for the ground to warm up. That's why I say it's a little bit early. You don't have to put it down this early.
So wait till a March 15th date, maybe. The May 15th date.
Yeah, I would certainly wait until, middle, the end of April, May, June. Any of those months is perfectly fine. But yeah, let the soil temperature warm up a little bit. Mulch does a great job of, again, if you wait a little bit longer in the spring and you get some good rain, some good showers, it will holds moisture in the ground. So, and then a nice layer of mulch through the summertime. Again, if you get some showers and you get some moisture down in the ground, it kind of protects the ground, insulates a little bit, and then it also will hold moisture. So the water doesn't evaporate out of the soil so quickly. It will inhibit weed growth. So you don't have as many weed potential if you have a nice layer of mulch down. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of ways you can kind of go the wrong way. You can take a good thing, kind of make it bad. Too much mulch is bad for your plants. 2 to 3 inches tops is about perfect. If you're mulching every spring, or if you're like your wife wants every month, you get the mulch so thick, it actually becomes a detriment to the plant. Mulch that's really thick will become hydrophobic. It actually will shed water. It doesn't let water percolate through. It screws up your soil. It doesn't let moisture through. It doesn't let oxygen. It doesn't let, because oxygen's in the soil and your roots actually take that up. So it really creates some problems. So you can get it on too thick or put it on too frequently. Technically, as far as the plants go, if you mulch every other year, that's probably about right. If you mulch every season for the color and the aesthetics, that's fine. You just want to make sure you put a thin layer down. Don't put it on real thick if you're mulching every spring. I mulch every spring because I like the looks of it, but I only put an inch or two down.
Should you try to remove some of the old, or is that that big a deal? Does it more or less compost itself? And if you're putting on an inch, you're okay?
You certainly can get to the point where if you're mulching every spring and you're putting it on, a couple, 3 inches every time, you can get it so thick that you definitely want to rake it out. Because if you get it on really thick, you can get different types of molds and fungus that will grow in the mulch. And that isn't necessarily something that's going to kill the plants, but it makes the mulch get really chunky and it kind of binds it all together and makes these big sheets.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks miserable. So, yeah, you can get it on too thick.
So how, after you've put it on, or what's the ideal thickness? 2 to 3 inches?
2 to 3 inches.
Half of...
Two to three inches is ideal. And then I know a lot of people don't think about it. But, again, mulch over a long period of time will kind of pack down. And then, again, it gets that effect that's kind of hydrophobic. It wants to shed water. In the summertime, if you want the color back, like in July or August, if you want the color back and you mulched in the spring, take a garden weasel, take a heavy garden rake, and stir it up. If you stir it up, you get the good color back and you break everything up.
Yeah. So can mulch get like a mold or mildew in it?
Absolutely. It's not that, you know, this guy has good mulch and this guy has bad mulch and I got bad mulch. And, you know, mulch is an organic matter, and it decomposes, and that's what it's supposed to do. It creates organic matter for the soil, and you can get different types of molds and fungus that will grow in it. There's a white mold that grows in it that, like I said, kind of knits everything together, and it comes up if you step in it or try to dig through it. It comes up in sheets that are as big as a plate.
I just thought it was cat puke.
Well, then there's another type of fungus. There's another type of fungus that's actually, it's called slime mold. Uh-huh. And it looks like dog vomit or cat vomit, and initially it's really bright yellow and looks almost like jello, you know, on your mulch. That's called slime mold.
I probably shouldn't have killed the neighbor's cat then, should I?
No. Probably shouldn't have. Well, at least not for that.
And that is something that when you get moisture, you need heat and humidity. You're not going to see it now. Yeah. You're not going to see it in the fall. But if it's late June, July, August, and you've got a new layer of mulch down and you get lots of rain, or you're watering your plants frequently, you get that mulch really damp, moist, and then, again, humidity, you'll see that fungus grow, and there's no fungicides that are labeled for it. The best thing to do is stir it up, or just take a shovel, scoop it up, and get rid of it. But the best thing to do is stir it up.
Okay.
If you stir the mulch up, you'll have a lot less of it.
Very good. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a little break, come back, and talk a little bit more about some of the landscaping things, and then we're going to talk about lawns and how to keep them green and pain-free. So we'll be right back after this.
The Feed and Animal Division of Cooper Farms in Port Recovery, Ohio, has an array of employment opportunities available. We are looking for eager, dedicated, and skilled individuals to join our team. A list of employment opportunities can be found online at cooperfarms.com or by calling 419-375-4116. Cooper Farms is more than a workplace and offers a wonderful benefits package, including a free on-site medical facility, a monthly gain-sharing bonus program, paid time off, and much, much more. Contact us today about joining our team.
Hi, this is Joy, Deli Manager at Wayne IGA. Did you know on Wednesdays after 3 p.m. and all day on Sundays, Wayne IGA offers a 12-piece bucket special for $12.99. Save $2 a bucket. March is also upon us. That means at Wayne IGA, it is fish season. Starting on Wednesday, March 1st, and every Friday till Easter, we will be having our deli fish. You can get our fish by the dinners or by the pound. Please call ahead to reserve your fish. It does go fast. Our number is 419-375-2865. Thank you for your business at Wayne IGA. Don't forget to check us out on our Facebook page.
For Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is Derek there?
Well, there's no one here named Derek.
But my brother Derek said you always have something for everyone.
Oh, you're talking about that, Derek. Well, he's right. We do have something for everyone with insurance plans from Ohio Mutual for your home, auto, farm, or business, and more.
Yes, someone there that can help Derek clean up his messy room.
Well, miss, that's one thing we really can't help him with.
Thank you.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
The Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts present Disney on Parade on April 2nd, 2017. Shows begin at 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Tickets are on sale now at Fort Recovery Insurance for just $5. Advance tickets are highly encouraged. Also, make sure you're there early. We have over 20 costume characters for meet and greets beginning at 1 p.m. for the 2 o'clock show, and meet and greets beginning at 5:30 p.m. for the 6:30 p.m. show. If you have any questions, please send us an email at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts@gmail.com or call 419-375-4041. The Friends of the Arts thank you for your support and look forward to seeing you at our shows on April 2nd.
We're on.
Yeah, I was going to have something else, but it wouldn't play. So.
Nope. Hey, we're back. Insight.
We were going to talk about the Fireman's Barbecue Chicken Dinner that's the same day as the Disney on Parade. So, but if for some reason it wouldn't play. So.
Well, you just did the commercial anyhow. So.
That's right.
Yep.
We're good.
Get your tickets ahead of time and just drive through and pick them up.
And, okay, so just to remind everybody, we've got the Fireman's Chicken Dinner. Okay, which is Sunday, April 2nd.
Yep,
we've got
Sunday.
Disney on Parade, which is this Sunday. I think there's two shows, yep. 2 and 6:30.
Yeah, I think it's 2:30 and something like that. It just played, but I was doing something else and I didn't.
And then I think that they're also having chicken dinners, correct?
Don't know. They didn't, that wasn't in their ad. So.
Okay. So, anyway, you have chicken out the wazoo and see some fantastic entertainment over the weekend. That's the main thing.
The Disney on Parade tickets can be purchased ahead of time at Fort Recovery Insurance.
That sounds fantastic.
And somehow Karen Myring's involved in that, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be really, really good.
I'd say it usually is with Karen. So Steve, we've been talking about landscaping. So, what's hot right now as far as the plants or the ideas that you people are kind of migrating towards?
Well, everybody's migrating towards as low maintenance as possible. So, you know, the plants that we look to buy and the plants that we try to buy and install would be anything that is slow growing or small mature height. I mean, landscaping has just changed, you know, tremendously since, you know, the 60s and 70s. You had, you know, junipers and taxus, and that was, you know, pretty much all you had.
Yep.
And, you know, there's just so many things going on. I mean, horticulture, landscaping in Ohio is a $3 billion a year business, so there's a lot of money spent.
So do you get about half that?
10%.
Yeah. That's his business plan.
He's in a small market, so he's 10%.
That would be nice. But anyhow, there's an awful lot of money. And, you know, again, that being green kind of a thing with planting trees and shrubs, you know, certainly huge. But everybody's, you know, the old fashioned taxus that would grow, you know, beyond your windows in 10 years. And then, you know, there's just nothing like that out there anymore. Everything stays small. Some of the neat things that have come out recently that I think are pretty cool. There's a new variety of lilac that came out a couple years ago, and it's called Bloomerang. It's a dwarf variety, and it also reflowers. It flowers in the spring real heavily, and then it'll flower sporadically through the summer, and then it flowers into the fall.
So that's cool.
Something that's really cool that people really like, because everybody loves lilacs, but they're just so one season, they're just May, and then that's it. And it's a variety, again, that stays really small. So that's, you know, the old common lilacs, I can remember Grandma having those, and they'd get 12, 14 foot out in the backyard. The varieties that you have now, Dwarf Korean, Miss Kim, this Bloomerang lilac, those are going to be more 3 to 5 foot at maturity, so they just don't get really big. Yep. There's different varieties of boxwoods that are always very popular, because the boxwoods, for the most part, depending on variety, will stay relatively small. And that's a really good compact evergreen for like a foundation planting around your house. Of course, everybody talks about and loves the, you know, the knockout roses. And, you know, for the most part, they are an outstanding rose. The hybrid teas is what everybody had years and years and years ago. And there's still hybrid teas out there, and they're fantastic plants, but they're, I would consider medium to high maintenance, because they'll get powdery mildew, they'll get, you know, black spot, they'll get aphids, spider mites, and so you're, you know, pruning, trimming, you're spraying insecticides, fungicides, which, you know, people just simply don't want to do.
Yeah.
But as far as huge flowers and tremendous fragrance. There's, you know, nothing better than the hybrid tea. But they came out then with, you know, more what they call shrub roses, which would be grandifloras, floribundas, and then carpet roses, which are the ones that'll stay real close to the ground and kind of spread. But the knockout roses, when they came out, very, very, very low maintenance. The first variety they came out with was red, and then they came out with pink, and then they came out with yellow, and they came out with a variety called Rainbow Knockout. And there's a new variety that's supposed to be out this summer that's supposed to be orange. Without question, the most vigorous and best growing variety is certainly the red. And then they came out with the single red was the first one, and now they've come out with all double flowers. So the petal count is more. They're more of a ruffly bloom. The fragrance is pretty good. I mean, it's certainly nothing like a hybrid tea, but still has very fragrant flowers. You know, they were touted as being completely no maintenance, and they only get so big. And, you know, those people that hybridize those and develop those, they throw out some interesting claims. But after those plants have been out and we've planted them and used them and I've grown them and used them in landscaping, they're really, really nice, and they're really low maintenance as far as roses go, but they're not as perfect as everybody, as they were sold as.
Yeah.
The pink ones don't bloom nearly as profusely as the red ones. The yellow ones have a beautiful bloom as the flower opens, but that yellow fades very, very quickly to almost a white. So the flower, they're called the sunny knockouts. The yellows aren't as vivid as a lot of people think they should be. And I have seen a little bit of, over the years, as since they've come out, a little bit more insect issues with them. There's a leaf miner that gets into them. And again, they're sold and they were touted as being completely insect free. And, you know, that's easy to say when it's new on the market, but after they've been out 7, 8, 9 years, yeah, I'm certainly seeing some issues with them. And then people ask me, well, these are supposed to be insect free, and I'm like, hey, you know what, it's Mother Nature, man. Yeah. there's no you know, insect free. I mean, the more you plant, the more potential you have for insects or disease to crop up. I haven't seen a lot of disease issues with them. The black spot is, I don't want to say non-existent, but very little, a little bit of powdery mildew, but for the most part they're pretty easy. Yep. The one thing that people, and they surprise the heck out of me, is if you get them in a site where they're really happy, them suckers grow fast and they get really big.
Really?
And so I've seen them things at 4 and 5 foot, and I think they're touted as being, oh, they're only get 3 foot, bull.
Yeah.
If they're in a location where they're happy, they grow like gangbusters.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you for the plants that provide for the best color, you know, for, you know, certain times of year. So you give me your top two in each of these. So if, like, you wanted plants that are great for, you know, providing color in the spring, what are you going
to
plant?
It's really, really, really easy to find plants that are going to give you wonderful spring color, because there's so many.
Okay.
Flowering crab apples, forsythia, service berries, red buds.
Hey, you talk about lilacs.
Lilacs. I mean, those are all plants that are going to be, you know, spring flowering. There's a million, probably literally a million different varieties of flowering crab apples. Fragrant flowers, beautiful blooms, just, you know, tremendous color in the spring. Red buds are a native plant, and you can see them woods edge, creeks, you know, creek's edge, fence rows, you know, red buds. I just love them. They're a native, and they just, I don't know, they kind of signal spring when you see those things blooming.
Yep.
They're fantastic. But again, everything, I don't say everything, there's so many things that bloom in the spring. So it's easy to find something that you're going to like in the spring. Rhododendrons, azaleas are all spring flowering. You know, forsythias, like I said, forsythia, lilacs, those are all things that will be, you know, spring flowering. I really like service berries. Service berries are multi-stemmed, kind of a smaller flowering tree. They bloom a really pretty white flower in the springtime, and then they have edible fruit on them in June. Those are really outstanding shrubs and or large shrub or small tree. Viburnums, bloom tremendous in the spring, and there's nothing better as far as fragrance goes than certain varieties of viburnums. So spring's easy. There's tons of things that are going to give you flowers.
So how about in the summer?
Summer, you don't have as many choices, but there are good, you know, varieties. The biggest thing, and one of the plants that they're really doing a lot with as far as hybridizing and new varieties, varieties that get big and varieties that stay real small and compact, are different hydrangeas. Hydrangeas, you know, some of them have the humongous flowers that are literally the size of a softball or bigger. Mm-hmm. And they've really, again, done a lot with hydrangeas. They used to be, certain varieties were very sensitive to pH. We have a very clay, like I said, an alkaline soil. When you get out higher alkalinities, you tend, with hydrangeas, you'll have more colors in the pinks and the white ranges. With higher acidic soils, you'll have more purple, blue type flowers. But there's Endless Summer, and there's Bloomstruck, and there's so many new varieties coming out. There's one called Strawberries and Cream that's like a pink and white on the same flower. But tremendous color in the summertime with hydrangeas.
So I've got I've got a couple of hydrangeas, and they grow till hell won't have it. And I swear that they have blooms as big as my head. But they're kind of a ugly gray, you know, like they're in much color to them
as far as the brightness goes.
Yeah,
that probably, again, as a kind of a pH issue.
So, like, what can I do to the soil to change that?
I would put something on there that would acidify the soil, so that would be like a sulfur type of a product, or sulfur usually, I mean, most cases I would get it in a granular and apply it around the plant, and that's going to drive the pH. That's going to make the pH go down. That's going to get it in the, you know, our soil pH is usually, our heavy clay can be anywhere between, guys, 7 to 8.5, and 8.5 is ridiculously high.
Yeah.
Hydrangeas are going to like something from 7 back into the maybe 6.5 range as far as pH goes. So, and then there's also something real easy that you can use is a liquid, like it's a granular that you mix up with water called muriacid. And muriacid is, again, a soil acidifier that will, and it's also kind of like a fertilizer too. And I think if you use something like that, you're going to see a much different color as far as the flower goes. I'm sure you're going to see a difference in foliage color as too. It's going to be a richer, darker green.
Okay.
So that has to do with the pH. Another plant that is kind of an old plant, kind of tried and true, been around forever, would be a Rose of Sharon. Rose of Sharon are great summer flowering plants. The old varieties were more of a nuisance. They would self-seed, so the flowers would bloom, and they'd have seeds, and they'd hit the ground, and then they would start growing. But the newer varieties, Althea is another name, but it's the same thing. It's a Rose of Sharon. Again, they have double blooms. They have single blooms. They have anything white, pink, red. There's lavenders. There's one that's called Blue Chiffon that has kind of a blue color to it. I think those are tremendous as far as summer color, and they also attract a lot of butterflies and hummingbirds. Summer fall flowering would be another great plant, would be butterfly bush. Butterfly bush blooms in the, again, white, pink, dark pink, light pink, mauve, dark, real rich dark purple, lavenders, and those are real big hummingbird attractors, and they really attract a lot of butterflies. So those are good plants that are going to give you, get you all through the summer with some really, really good color.
Cool. So when you design the landscaping for a house, do you design it to where there'll be something that is blooming all three seasons?
When I go out and look at somebody's house, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into how I do the design. The first thing is talking to the client. You know, you got to talk to them and say, what do you want? What are you thinking? Some people tend to, and it might be an older person, you know, they want evergreens. They want mm-hmm. green there year round. Wintertime, summertime, they want green. So, you know, again, we've got lots of different varieties of plants that we can do that with and not just use junipers and taxes. But more often than not, yeah, people want, you know, hey, I want something going on all the time. I want some color all the time. So, yes, if you're dealing with the front of the house, I try to do evergreens for curb appeal because in the wintertime you don't want it to be completely naked. So you put some evergreens in, and then you do some of your flowering plants that would be, again, spring, summer, fall flowering. And then once you get around back, if I'm doing a patio, outdoor entertaining area, a lot of different things come into play there. You know, maybe some trees for – and not like a – I mean, there's certain cases where you want large shade trees, but up around the patio, you might just want flowering ornamentals. And in the back, I'm more thinking of, you know, perennial flowers and flowering shrubs and things that when you're out there from April till November that look really nice and give you a lot of color, and you're not out there in the wintertime anyhow. So if you don't use a lot of evergreens, to me, it doesn't make that much difference. So, yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into that to do it right.
Very good. I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, come back with Steve, and we're going to talk about the lawn when we come back. So we'll be back right after this.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who is dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent Simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Visit the 47-acre campground at Rossburg Acres. There are plenty of permanent and short-term camping sites available with water and electric hookups. Call 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 to make your reservations. If you are planning a party or a get-together, there are two large shelter houses available for rent on Sundays. One of these is sure to meet your needs. Make sure your reservations are in advance by calling 419-375-4944 or 419-852-0115 or visit RossburgAcres.com.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having a pork chop dinner on Thursday, April 20th. It's carry out only from 4 to 6, and they're available for drive-through pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe. And the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, a baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. The tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Monday, April 10th from any high school SAD Club member, and they are also available at the high school and middle school offices or by calling Kathy Toby at 375-4227 or Kathy Etzler at 852-2572. Get your academic boosters tickets now before April 10th for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member. Then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Thursday, April 20th between 4 and 6. And don't forget to get a couple of extra dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before April 10th.
We're back. Insight.
Since Insight's been so popular this last hour, 50 minutes far, we were going to run into sports talk a little bit, right? Like 45 minutes into that because of...
Well, we weren't going to, but we usually do.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a recommendation, but...
Wait, Bubba's getting a phone call. Bob, you want to take that on air?
Okay, we're back.
Okay. So...
Work-related
Yeah. So, Steve, we've been talking about a little bit of everything. So let's turn our attention to the lawn, okay? What should we be doing right now?
Well, it depends on what you want. If you want a really nice thick yard, or if you don't want it to grow at all, so you don't have to mow very often.
Bingo.
But
it needs to be beautiful.
There you go.
Okay, AstroTurf it is.
There it is.
All right. You can roll that too, can't you?
That's absolutely.
You don't like rolling, do you?
Well, there's a lot of people.
Don't
Don't go into rolling yet, because I have that on my question of
I'll delete that from the archives.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
Right now is the time you want to fertilize for sure. If you haven't done anything since last summer, you want to put a fertilizer on. And you know, follow the label directions. Don't overkill it. Just because if you think of, you know, a 50-pound bag is good and say, well, I haven't fertilized in 2 years, I'm going to put 100 down. You know, that's a bad idea. That's a really bad idea. You know, follow the label directions. If you don't know what you need to apply, give me a call out at the nursery. I'll do my best to help you. But one thing you need to figure out how big your yard is. Because if you're going to apply it correctly, you need to know if you're treating 10,000 square feet or if you're treating 40,000 square feet.
So if, like, I call you and you ask me how big my yard is, and I say it takes me 25 minutes to mow it.
Yeah, that's not going to cut
it. Don't do it.
Okay. Give me a rough idea.
What I would tell you. It goes from one neighbor's yard to the other neighbor's yard.
Well, you know what's funny is I know all you guys well enough that I can tell you about exactly how big your yards are. Everybody, I don't know these guys, but all the rest of you guys, I know how big your yard is, so I can tell you about what you need to apply. But you need to know how big of an area you're treating, and then you can calculate and then buy the right product. A lot of the products that you buy, you know, I know the hardware store has bag products. Usually they're going to treat over the counter like that 5,000 square feet. So, you know, it doesn't take much to get a measuring wheel or, you know, even just pace your yard off and figure out an average adult step is going to be about 3 foot.
Yep.
So pace it off, kind of figure out how much you're treating, and then you can apply it correctly. You want to put fertilizer down, and you want to put a pre-emergent weed control down to keep crabgrass from coming up. And you need to apply that now. Usually for this part of Ohio, they say April 15th is your cutoff date. If you don't have it down, your pre-emergent down by April 15th, the possibility of the crabgrass foxtail, that seed has already germinated and started to grow, you're not going to get good control.
It won't be as effective.
It won't be nearly as effective. So as cool as it's been, looking at the extended forecast, I'm saying April 15th, probably you're going to be able to apply all the way up to that point, maybe a little bit beyond that point, because soil temperatures aren't rising really quickly right now. So that's the first thing you want to do. But don't overapply fertilizer. Again, everybody wants to get out and fertilize like crazy in the spring. You're better off if you want to be lazy, don't fertilize in the spring. Fertilize in the fall. You get a lot better results if you do September, October, November, if you fertilize that time of year. If you fertilize a whole bunch this time of year, actually the grass knows what time of year it is by day length. The grass knows the days are getting longer, and so when you're putting a bunch of fertilizer down now, you're promoting top growth. So you're setting yourself up for mowing, you know, if you put two bags on, you're only supposed to put one on. You're setting yourself up to mow about four nights a week, and I don't mind mowing grass, but I don't like mowing four nights a week. So apply it at the right rate, and the right rate is going to be about a pound and a half at the most of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. So just apply it at the right rate.
So right now is not the time that you can really treat for dandelions. That's got to be done in the fall, correct?
No, you can treat if you see I have seen dandelions blooming already. You can treat for dandelions. You can put a broadleaf herbicide on now. Okay, you're going to be killing dandelions, I'm sure. But if you apply now, the only thing you're going to be killing pretty much are dandelions. So that broadleaf application is a lot better applied in late May, early June, because if you apply it now, you're going to wipe out your dandelions. But by June, you're going to have 50 other types of weeds germinating and growing and looking like crap in your yard. So don't kill yourself and get out and apply early and then miss the best window. And the best window is after the ground's warmed up and everything's germinated and growing. You're going to get a lot better control of a lot more weeds if you wait. So don't jump the gun on that.
Okay. Let's say that you've got a large patch of grass to sow. It's much better to do that in the fall than in the spring.
It's certainly no question. If you do your seeding in the first week of September, you're going to get germination in 7 to 10 days. You're going to be mowing it in 6 weeks, and you're going to have probably about zero weeds. If you seed now, which now is a perfectly fine time, it's going to come up. It's going to look like $1 million, probably. But as soon as we get into July and August, it's going to get crabgrass foxtail. It's going to get inundated with weeds, and it's going to look like crap. And if you did it, you're going to be, I should redo this in the fall. If I did it, somebody's calling me on the phone saying, this looks terrible. Come out and redo it. That's just the nature of spring seeding. If you wait until September, fertilize that again, it will recover and it'll look great. But spring seeding is definitely a lot more difficult or harder than fall, for sure.
And the weeds take over because the lawn's not as thick and it's got more room to grow.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what. I got a question for you.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I got a good question here. Okay. So I called you up last year for the lawn care, like four, and I was some company, you trip lease or you have somebody comes in and...
Well, Green Tech is...
Green Tech.
Yeah, Green Tech's a sister company of mine. We work together. They do our lawn applications and we do all their landscaping. They're a partner of mine. Yep.
Okay, so they come and they do my yard and they put a sign in there that says no pets, but my dog's running around wide open out there.
Well, it's a certain period of time that you should keep the dog off the yard. If it's
can I get my wife out there, maybe?
Robert.
What?
You shouldn't say that.
If it's a granular application, if it's a dry granular application, kids, dogs, whatever can get on it right away because those granulars are big and you're not going to pick them up. If it's a liquid application, when we're doing a broadleaf type of an application, you really want to stay off of it until that product has an opportunity to dry. So it might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, and then after that, you can turn your dog loose, turn your wife loose, and, you know what, and there's no problem.
Next time you do that and you send her out in the yard barefoot, that night she's going to ask you to lick her feet. then you'll be dead.
And on that note, off topic, let's just go to break, Gary Neal. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about licking Jody's feet.
Hey, when now, I got back. Another question.
What is you're cutting into sports talk now.
Oh, okay.
Bob's going to be
come
mad.
Come back, I got another question.
Okay.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice a potato and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
This is Rochelle, grocery manager at Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Keep a lookout for changes throughout the store as well as the new products we have coming soon. If there is anything we don't offer, let us know and we will do what we can to get it in. A big thank you to all of those who took part in donating back to the local schools through the month of February. Thanks for shopping with Wayne IGA.
It's summertime, 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 summertime.
The Fort Recovery Village pool is in need of lifeguards for the summer pool season. If you're 15 or older and looking for a nice summer job, this is one of the best there is. You can get paid to sit in the sun, but more important, you'll learn skills to help you deal with the situations that might come up while you're at the pool. And taking on responsibility and having those skills can look good in the future to the people who do the hiring when you're looking for a job, especially in social work, teaching, and healthcare. It can also give you an advantage for a great job at college being a lifeguard. To apply, just stop in at the Village Hall and pick up an application, or you can apply online right now at fortrecovery.org and click on the Pool Manager and Lifeguards tab and fill out the application and mail it in or drop it off.
It's summertime.
The baseball season is underway. The Indians play next this Saturday as Coach Kalp's Indians will host the always tough Crestview Knights in a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. Get on board the Indians baseball train as our Indians will be working hard to get back to state again this year. Do everything you can to get to all the games to help cheer them on. But if you can't get to all the games in person, as always, we'll bring you all the action live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
back Insight Wednesday night. Jack Stogler, Steve Stone talking about women's feet.
Somebody turn Neil's mic off.
So, okay, Bob, I think when we went to break, you had a question.
Okay, Stoney, this might be over your head. Last year, I had zero walnuts in my walnut tree. Zero. Not one walnut. Year before, a few. Year before, 8 trillion. How's that work?
A lot of trees, whether it's a walnut tree or fruit trees, apple trees, there's a lot of different factors that go into that. They'll alternate bear. Like if it's really heavy one year, it'll be light the next year. Temperature, freezing temperatures and stuff has something to do with it. If they're in bloom and the flowers get frosted, you won't have nearly as many as fruit, nuts, whatever. So it's all environmental. It's all environmental. It has to do with, again, trees definitely will alternate bear. One year's heavy, one year's light, kind of back and forth. And then the weather conditions will play a part of that as well.
There you go.
Bob, we are not here to talk about your trees and your yard.
And your wife's feet.
I'm a normal listener.
Yeah, we're here to talk about Jack's trees and yard.
You need to mow, Jack. Your yard looks like crap.
Bob!
Crap.
Now I have stuff to edit. Oh, man. Now what am I going to do? I'll be up all night.
So, Steve, I have a list of, like, fact or fiction, truth or myth type things about taking care of your yard and stuff that I'd like for you to straighten me out, or even better, straighten my wife out.
Gotcha.
Okay? Well, you touched on one of them about the mulch. Are you mulching every month? It's probably overkill,
that's
correct?
A little overkill.
Okay. So,
I mean, I like Marcia and everything. I mean, she's a great lady.
Yeah. And he'll sell you all the mulch she
wants. If she wants that's fine. But as far as doing benefit to your lawn, no. It's probably a detriment to your back, too.
That's true. Except I usually have her do it, so.
So get her one of those garden weasels that stirs it all up.
Yeah. That's what she needs. She just needs to stir up what's there.
You know what? I'm going to go home and give her the weasel now. So, okay.
She'll be disappointed.
I have no idea what that means.
She'll be disappointed as usual.
You're going to have to stop at Wangler's and get that garden weasel.
That garden weasel, All right. Myth, fact. You should bag your grass clippings.
False.
No.
Don't
False.
Have to. Yep.
Why?
Because if you have a sharp blade on your mower and you have a mulching type of a mower, grass clippings, if you mow, frequently, that you're not balling it up in football size clumps in your yard, grass clippings as it decomposes can actually kind of equate to basically one application of fertilizer a year. So it decomposes and it becomes nutrients for your lawn.
And like, grass clippings are like 75% water, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to bag them. You don't want to put it in the recycling or have the guys come pick it up. You want to use a good mulching mower and leave them right there.
Right. Rolling a lawn is a good thing.
No.
What?
No.
You should ask it the other way. Rolling a lawn is a bad thing. He thinks it's horrible.
So
I'm just telling you.
Especially in our clay, right?
I catch a lot of crap about it, especially the guys that have the rollers that want to go out and do your yard. I catch a lot of heck about it. But, we have a very heavy clay soil, and it just packs the crap out of your lawn. And then in the summertime.
And grass has to breathe.
In the summertime, it looks like hell, and people call, what's the matter with this? Well, I rolled it. It should look great. I rolled it in the spring. No, that's what created the problem. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of good farmers in Mercer and Dark County. I mean, they're tremendously successful. I've yet to see one of them out rolling their fields.
Yep.
No, I see them tilling them up.
Yep.
I don't see anybody out there rolling.
So on the flip side of that, aerating the yard is a good thing.
Excellent. Yeah. Yeah, look at all your golf courses. They're aerating spring and fall. Greens and tees are certainly fall for sure, and that is a practice to alleviate soil compaction. It promotes really dense, fibrous root systems, which will keep that turf happy and growing, you know, through hot, dry periods, and just a lot healthier plant for sure.
Let me just ask on Roland again, if your lawn is just really rough and you do it every 3 or 4 or 5 years,
and if you aerate in the process, it's fine.
Okay.
If you want to roll it, if it's really a mess and you want to get out there and roll it, that's fine, but you want to couple that with doing aeration. If you roll once, you should aerate twice, and you can accomplish, I think, what you want to, but just consistently getting out there and rolling. And again, if you do it with I just see people using the heaviest things I've ever seen. There's somebody out there that uses like a parking lot type road roller to roll their yard, and I'm sure
that'll smooth it out.
I'm sure that you could drive across that son of a gun at 60 with your lawnmower and not jiggle your beer out of your hand, but I guarantee you in July that grass is going to look bad.
Yep. So thatching in the spring is essential.
I don't want to say it's essential, but it's a good idea. I mean, it takes a lot of the dead, you know, blades, dead turf, dead out of the lawn.
What is thatching? I know what thatching is when you're doing like crops and stuff, but what is thatching grass? What is that?
It's a...
Is it like a rake?
It's
a power rake sort
like
of thing?
It's like a power rake. It's got tines that don't till, but it just kind of loosens the... It just pulls all the dead tissue and all the dead blades up.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I need a different answer on that one.
Okay.
That's a terrible idea.
Horrible. For everybody else, it's a great idea, but I drove by Jack's house, and it would be a terrible idea at Jack's house.
Thank you very much. All right. Raking leaves in the fall, it's smarter to mow them than it is to rake them.
True. If you can mow them and chop them up, again, with a good mulching mower and just leave them, that's perfectly fine. Good organic matter for your soil.
Boys, I am saving us a lot of work tonight.
You are. Good
that
job.
Is all I'm telling
you.
All right. If you can't water your yard, then you shouldn't fertilize it.
I would say that's false. I mean, fertilizing in the spring and fall is going to promote really good root growth. And whether you water in the summertime or you let it go dormant, if it's a hot, dry summer, it's not going to, the fertilizer is not going to affect that either way. So, I mean, I would still fertilize it even if you're not going to water it.
I got one.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knows that women can't mow straight lines when they mow grass.
Yeah, that's documented.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good thing to say. Now you're
no,
gonna
it's
have
fact.
To, you're,
no, it's
but
go-
you're going to have to
gospel.
Mow.
It's gospel.
That means you
no
have to mow.
No woman is allowed on a riding lawnmower.
I let Corey on my mower the other 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
then she mowed the circles?
No. I got that fence there in the backyard, mm-hmm. and she called me, and she goes, "Dad, I hit the fence." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." She said, "I cracked it." I said, "Man, that's not that big a deal. No big deal."
The mower.
I got home, and she had mowed off like three posts.
And mowed, I'm like, and mowed I'm
like,
off?
And I'm like, okay, if this was her description of, well, I hit the fence and I cracked it, I mean, I would have hate to seen what happened if she said, "Dad, this is bad." Because when I got home and looked at it, I'm like, "Are you blind?" It just destroyed three posts. So, yeah, she can't. But she was done. Yeah, and I think she did it on purpose.
The good thing is she got her texts through, so that worked out just very well. Her friends got her texts.
That's exactly right.
So, Steve, I tell you what. You've been a fountain of information. Why don't we plan on doing this again, like in the middle of May or so?
Perfect.
And touch on a few other things and do like a little follow-up as we get into the new busy lawn care type season. And
see how Jack's thatching is going?
That's right. Yep. And or not going.
Jack, you don't need a piece of machinery. You can just go out there with your rake.
With a rake. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So, one last question, okay? What plant or tree would you avoid
because it's too messy or too much work?
I would avoid the, honestly, I would avoid the Bradford pear.
The Bradford pear?
Yep. For a number of different reasons. I don't have enough time to get into
There's a lot of people selling those.
Yeah.
Because they have pretty flowers?
And they shouldn't be. They're...
Is it pretty flowers that they're trying to sell?
They have great flowers, but they're horribly susceptible to wind, ice, and snow falling apart. And then I don't know where ODA is or whoever coming out saying that that's actually an invasive species. It's starting to take over waterways. It's taken over...
Really?
Yeah, it's an invasive species. If you drive up and down 75 when they're blooming, they're from... As far as I've driven it, they're everywhere. And it's actually, it's an invasive species, and it's really getting to be a nuisance.
Hmm.
But again, they were put on the market and touted as being seedless. Well, I got news for you. Yeah.
I think the person that wrote that should have to go cut down all those trees.
Mother Nature has a way of morphing, and that tree is not sterile. It was supposed to be sterile and seedless, and it's neither.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of sterile and seedless, we better make time for sports talk here with Bubba and Fee.
That's real good.
That was just mean.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was unnecessarily
real
mean.
Real nice, Jack. Real fun. That's great.
Steve, I tell you what, it has great been show, a pleasure. Jack. You've been a fountain of information, and let's do it again about 6 or 8 weeks. And
yeah, absolutely. Let me know. I'll be here.
That sounds good. So for Insight, next Wednesday.
Oh yeah,
we have Nikki Hawk and Carly Stogler is going to. April is National Autism Month, and we're going to talk about that with Carly and Nikki next Wednesday. So
awesome.
Until then, this is Jack Stogler. Thanks to Steve Stone.
Thanks everybody for tuning in,
and stay tuned for Sports Talk.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.